romantic adventure? Want to get away from it all?
We offer you Escape. Escape, designed to free you from the four walls of today for a half hour of high adventure. It's time to escape with an exciting story of men and women whose dramatic lives will carry you beyond the horizons of the ordinary scene to a fascinating world of secret enterprise, strange experience, unforgettable adventure. The charmed world of Escape.
We escape with the most unusual story of suspense and terror in occupied Paris, as Marcel Aimée tells it in his unforgettable tale, Crossing Paris.
If you had been in Paris during the occupation by the Nazis, the filthy Boche, you would have seen a lot of interesting things. You might even have caught a glimpse of me stealing through the streets at night, as inconspicuously as possible for a man carrying a heavily loaded valise in each hand. These valises were lined inside with canvas to prevent the leakage of any telltale drops of blood. And they belonged to my employer, Monsieur Jambier, in whose cellar the original butchering was accomplished. Quite often I worked with an assistant carrier, usually Letambo. One winter afternoon I set out to meet Letambo at the Café Voltaire on the Boulevard de la Bastille. The trees were bright with frost, and the day seemed dying of cold. It was nearly dark when I reached the Café Voltaire and went in. I went straight up to the bar.
What will it be? You look cold enough for a brandy.
I can drink brandy in any season. So can Letambo.
Yeah, this will warm your bones. Letambo was in. He said to tell you he wasn't free tonight.
Curse him. How can he behave like that? He has no respect for his work.
Respect for our work. Who is this Letambo? Respect for our work.
Oh, peace, peace, monsieur. I'm talking to the bartender. It's no affair of yours.
Bartichu's affair it is.
He put his glass down and staggered up to me, fist raised. At the same moment, a huge man with a head like a ram slipped around from behind me, caught the guy's chin in his big hand, and pushed him backward with a powerful thrust.
I get it now. The police always travel in pairs.
We're not police, you idiot.
Yes, police written all over them.
Well, well, then let's go, my lad. Pay for our drinks now, and we'll report to the station for duty. Pay up, and let's be off, huh?
I don't know why, but I paid. Oh. And then, still laughing, the big one took me by the arm, and we started
going. Come along.
He was a rough fellow, probably a laborer. Dressed as he was in a spotted shiny suit and a dark turtleneck sweater. The tight brown curls that made his huge head gave him the appearance of a great ram. When we reached the street, the night was already black with high, icy winds.
Well, that was a squalid scene.
The man was drunk, but I could have handled him. I carried a knife, you know. You didn't have to interfere.
Oh, I enjoyed it.
Well, anyway, you probably saved him from being cut up.
But I didn't realize you were going to cut him up. My apologies, monsieur.
You are a bloodthirsty brute. What do you do? What is your trade?
Oh, this and that. I manage.
Look here. You're a strong fellow, and if you're not afraid of a little risk, I can give you a job tonight as my assistant. It pays well, too.
How much?
400 francs.
You're on.
But you don't even want to know what it is?
You're an assassin.
Of course not. I'm a man of honor above all.
What difference does it make?
You're an odd type. All right, then, let's turn off here. First, we must go to the Rue Poliveau. Our work starts there.
Good, good. But let's walk faster. I'm cold.
Hello?
is it? It's me, Pierre. Who's the other one?
Le Tambo ducked out on me tonight, so I've asked my friend Grandjean here to take his place. But he's all right.
Hurry, then. You're late.
We followed Monsieur Rougier across the cellar to a thick table where stained white cloth covered a shapeless form. He proudly removed the shroud, revealing a whole hog which had been cut neatly into a dozen portions. Then he stood back and allowed us to feast our eyes.
He's a beauty, you know?
How much does he weigh?
200 pounds. But divided into 4 valises? You manage him all right.
It's easy to see you've never carried 100 pounds of black market pig about Paris.
You're wasting time. Hand me a valise under the table.
Where let him go tonight?
To Montmartre, butcher shop. In the Rue Goulincourt, number 43. And one thing now. To arrange his deliveries, he must have the meat there by 2 a.m.
2
a.m.? If you are late, he will not accept it.
But
not distance for a young man like you, but...
How much are you giving
up? Now, Pierre, a bargain is a bargain.
But me not. That's a different matter.
You know perfectly well I can't risk keeping the pig here, and it's too late to get anybody else.
Carrying 200 pounds of black market meat all the way across Paris in the dead of night with the police lying in wait for us at every turn all the way.
All right. You'll get 50 francs more.
I want respect to be paid for my work. No, not just a tip.
500 then. But not a sou more.
It is hard work and it involves great risk. 600 francs.
Monsieur Jarlier, tell me, is this really number 45?
Why do you ask that?
No reason at all, because I know the answer. Monsieur Jarlier, 45 Rue Paul-Evaux.
Who is this man, Pierre?
Dungey, you will do me the courtesy of keeping your mouth shut. I do the talking here. Now, you agree then to 600 francs.
Monsieur Jambier, 45 Rue Paul-Evaux, my share will be 1,000 francs.
Are you mad? Don't pay any attention to him. He's my assistant, so you just give me 2 times 600 francs, and I'll settle with him later.
All right, then, here, take it. I can't have you here all night.
Jambier, 45 Rue Paul-Evaux, now my share will be 1,500 francs.
Jambier stood as if frozen, his jaws clenched. The man was not even looking at him. But instead, he walked nonchalantly around the cellar, examining the foodstuffs stored there. He spied a string of sausage hanging on the wall, jerked it off, stuck it into the pocket of his jacket. Then he found a large paper sack and burst it with the end of his index finger. A stream of lentils ran out through the hole and onto the floor.
Monsieur Jambier, 45 Rue Paul-Evaux, give me 2,000 francs. Or shall I wreck this place?
Jambier looked at him fearfully for a moment. Then he pulled a fat billfold from his pocket and handed 2 notes of 1,000 francs each to the man, who pocketed them calmly and caught a third one on the fly. I started toward Grandjean to make him return the money.
Mr. Malone, I can't afford a row here.
I don't want a row, but after all, he's my assistant.
This is my summer. I paid out enough money to have peace here at least. You can settle it with him later. Right now, we've got to finish packing the valises. It's late.
All right. You're the boss. Come on, let's get it done.
I'd postpone this whole thing if I could.
We went back to the table and finished wrapping and fitting the sections of pork into the valises. Grandjean sat across the cellar on a wine barrel, eating a thick slice of ham he'd found. When we were packed, he got up, came over to pick up his 2 valises. This apparent willingness seemed to impress Jean-Louis. And when we reached the door, he stuck a pack of cigarettes into the ram's pocket.
That's for the two of you.
For the trip. Cigarettes at night, a fine way to get ourselves picked up.
Oh, come now, Pierre. Don't worry, sir.
I have to have 2,000 francs more.
Not a sou.
Give me 2,000 francs, for heaven's sake, Jean-Louis. 2,000 francs,
Stop it, you have the police on you.
You blackmailer here. Take them and go. Shut up in the name of Mary, shut up!
open the door, let's get out of here. I'll settle with you later, my fine friend.
Jambler, I now have to have another 2,000.
Why, I couldn't stop. Now, don't you dare pull anything like that again. What's the matter with you anyway? Do you want to go to jail?
I'm warning you now.
Stop chirping at me, or I'll pinch your head off and let you bleed.
Well, I don't want any trouble, but after all, I've given you a job. This is my work, and you should have some respect for it.
Ah, back for your job. Ah, I've got it. Yes, yes. Come on, little one. Let's get it over with, huh? Come on. Come on, I said.
It's the obligation of all of us to participate in the effort being expended to protect democracy. Our national security and the current United Nations police action in Korea demands that the size of our armed forces be increased. If you're between the ages of 17 and 34, support the United Nations police action by enlisting in the United States Army or Air Force. Men are vitally needed for important jobs in all departments of the Army and Air Force. Strength is needed in the Far East. To have strength requires manpower. Young men who are eligible for selective service have the vigor and imagination that are necessary for an effective Army and Air Force. Volunteer to serve your nation. Be a part of the Army and Air Force and take part on your own team of young men. See your local recruiting sergeant and volunteer to enlist today. Do it now. Yes, if you're between 13 to 34, enlist in the Army or Air Force now.
This Gaojin was a sinister character. He blackmailed Zhang Buye out of 5,000 francs and then threatened me with I don't quite know what. Still, there was nothing to do but follow him. It was too late to get anyone else to help me carry Zhang Buye's black market paint to Montmartre. Besides, when I start a job, I finish it. A frozen wind whistled down the Rue Poligo, stiffening our fingers on the release handles. We walked slowly with heads down.
Where do we cross the river?
We'll have to go up to the Ile Saint-Louis, too near the railway station down here. Too many police patrols and German soldiers around here.
Well, let's hurry then. My hands are turning to stone.
The oily water in the Seine was black as coal, and along the banks the bare trees stood bleak and spectral. Finally, we reached the Ile Saint-Louis, and with a cord turned into the first side street for a moment's respite from the paralyzing north winds.
It's a wonder that air doesn't freeze. Why in the name of heaven do you work at this job?
Well, I make my living this way. Every man to his trade.
Well, it's not much fun. Plowing around in the night with valises full of lead, your face cracking with the cold, and all for the benefit of a thieving rascal like that Jean Blier.
You made out all right with Jean Blier.
You want some of it?
If it had been just between you and Jean Blier, all right. But I'm the one that brought you there. In my work, I am strictly honest. Let us go.
Wait just a moment. Now tell me, how much can you get for pork in the black market?
Forget it.
75 francs a pound?
Forget it, I
tell you. I'm sure we could sell Jean Blier's pig at 75 francs a pound. That would give us 30,000 francs. 15,000 apiece of easy money. So instead of killing ourselves in this...
Listen, a patrol. Stand absolutely still. Now.
Oh, fine. Very good. Thank you, Master. You'd only have a cigarette and it's cool.
You know, we can't smoke on you.
But help to warm us a bit.
That was close. Come on, let's get out of here. Follow me, hurry, or we'll never make it back to Aiden. We walked along silently. The moon was still hidden, but the night had grown lighter, and consequently more dangerous for us. After a block or two, I suddenly sensed the Gaojin was no longer behind me, and turning, I saw him halfway across the street, headed toward a line of blue light that framed the doorway of the cafe.
I'm going to get a solid liquor!
Come back here, you fool! You can't carry that fucking mail!
I won't be long!
He was already opening the door. Curse him! No telling what he was up to now. But in any event, I couldn't leave him there with Jean Blais' pork. So I crossed over and followed him inside. Several men who looked like Kurtz were playing cards at a table. The The proprietor's wife sat knitting a sock behind the cash register and looking suspiciously at Blanchine, who was already standing at the bar, one foot resting on his valises.
Proprietor, give us some mulled wine.
This is my closing time.
Give us some mulled wine.
If you're not running into my place with the police at your heels, I...
Give us some mulled wine.
No, don't cause a row with me.
Mulled wine, proprietor, mulled wine.
Up, Grigio, shut up, I tell you. If you quiet down, monsieur, I'll get it for you.
Thank you, madame.
The proprietor's wife went out through a low door at the back, and Grigio turned and stared at the four clerks who had stopped their card game.
You! No rights. There are four of you sitting there. You're half-starved on rotten carrots and sawdust pudding. You're smoking corn silk, all of you. And there's enough good fat pork in these valises to make you rich. Well, what's to keep you from making off with it? You know well enough we're in no position to repulse.
In the name of heaven, God, being good, you
get out of here, you filthy paupers! Get out and howl against the black market! You rabble scum! What good does it do to make laws if they're not respected? You're braggarts, anarchists, disloyal Frenchmen, are you?
Oh, gee, have you lost your mind? Maybe you don't care what happens to you, but I do.
You don't say. You there, proprietor. Where did your lobster of a wife go? I can't wait all night. Get us some brandy. Get us some brandy, I said.
One, then. One, but please, no more. It's past closing time already.
Here's to you, little Pierre. You who are as timid as a girl, but whose charm I cannot resist. Your valises full of pork that these cowards refuse to take, I will carry as far as Le Havre on foot, on my knees, for you.
Here's your mulled wine, monsieur. Oh, but you have...
Give it to me, madame. Give me your pitcher of mulled wine,
She approached him with hesitation and placed the pitcher on the bar.
Thank you.
The man reached out, seized him with both hands, and heaved it with all his strength against the wall post with the shattered on the belly of a pill bottle. The unhappy couple dared not even turn their heads to ascertain the damage.
Excellent, excellent. Yes. And now my valises. Come, little Pierre. I wish never to see these wretched people again. Baboons, I ignore you. I erase you from my memory forever.
I followed it out wondering how in the world I could keep this monstrous madman from getting us picked up by the police. The moon had come out now and the center of the street looked like an arrow of brightness, while the shadows along the sidewalk offered dangerous possibilities of surprise. Grangier threw away his cigarette as we approached the first street crossing. We had just reached the opposite curb when a man's voice rang out from the dark only 3 yards in front of us.
Stand where you are. No tricks now. What are you carrying in those valises?
Before taking that turn, you'd do well to identify yourself.
It's the police. You saw me well enough.
The police? Well, I'm certainly glad we ran into you. I've been looking for somebody to show us how to get to the Rue Sévigné.
You're going away from it. I think...
You didn't tell me. Did you hear that? The Rue Sévigné is behind us. Well, then we just have to turn back.
Later, perhaps. Right now, you're going with me to the station.
Oh, maybe rest a moment first. We walked a long way looking for the Rue Sévigné. Perhaps I can explain.
No need for that. Come along now.
I put my valises down anyway, thinking it would give me a chance to talk him out of this. And the man, bending his knees slightly, put his down also, and then suddenly straightened up, smashing his arm down the side over his huge fist. The poor man doubled his knees and fell flat. Grangier bent over him for a moment, then grabbed his hat and threw it into the middle of the street. The visor shone there in the moonlight.
Well, let's go.
That was smart. As soon as he comes to, he'll grab his whistle. In 5 minutes, all the police in the Arundel block will be after us.
That would surprise me. I have his whistle in my pocket.
Oh, wait a minute. Now what will we do? We don't dare go into a shelter with this man.
I live only 2 blocks from here. Come on.
In spite of carrying 100 pounds apiece of that cursed pig, we ran all the way. But at last we both lunged. We made it. I stopped a moment inside the door to catch my breath. before climbing to the top floor where he said he lived. The van went on ahead, and the door was open when I finally arrived.
Come in, come in. I'll have a fire going in the stove in a moment.
It was a large, comfortable studio. I set my valise down near the door and stood there until Grosjean drew a blackout curtain over the window and turned on the light. There were several easels in the room, and on the table near the window were spread out a number of drawings and paintings.
Surprised?
You're a painter?
Yes, I'm a painter.
You did all those?
I sell most of them around Montmartre. But since the German occupation, amusingly enough, not always for money, I barter. Only last week, for example, I sold a woman wearing nothing but high-heeled shoes and an opera hat. And do you know what I got? A ham. Ah, but here's one I've been commissioned for that'll bring 100,000 francs. You like it?
No.
Because it's the portrait of a Nazi.
Perhaps. And because it's no good.
You're still angry with me, aren't you?
I don't know what to think of you.
Take what you like, then. I'm going to eat something.
The stove had commenced to grow, so I sat down in the big easy chair next to it and soon became drowsy. Not pleasant words. Then the bell started ringing somewhere and woke me out of a sound sleep.
Roger speaking. Susie. I'm sorry I couldn't make it. No, Pierre Martin, David. What? No, you don't know him. Pierre Martin is a little gutter rat who works in the black market. Yes. He gave me a job, the poor idiot. Oh, I had great fun. Wore dirty clothes, played the role of a tough, a Satanist, a thief. Oh, it was very amusing, I assure you. What?
So that's it.
Oh, no.
Slumming. You were slumming.
I'll tell you all about it.
Mocking me. Making fun of my work.
Wonderful.
Laughing to himself all the time. I'll show you.
Pierre, such gentle little one. Oh, now, don't be angry.
You dog! And I thought you were hard up. I wanted to help you. And you, the gentleman, feeling himself to a taste of what I suppose you call the underworld. Like a stinking tourist.
Is there a reward out for you, Pierre?
It's stealing, that's what it is. You should have left the work to a man who needed it. You have no honor. No respect for work. You're a filthy rat.
Oh, but I have. Come over here. Look, I drew a portrait of you while you slept. Perhaps you will like this picture.
I don't even want to look at it. What do you think I am? Me, I earn my keep. I work hard. You and your Nazi 100,000 franc commission, you've done everything to make trouble for me. My work is a losing, eh? Well, I'll show you what I think of you!
Yeah, what are you up to?
Then it was the meetings of the hell that tortured the Nazi. Put my knife into the top and let down!
No!
I was about to slash it across the middle of Dorothy's huge body smashing me. I was choking my life out with a fist in me. I began to beat the floor and have me put my open hand. I struck the knife with one hand and seized it. My eyes were turning black in my head as I slashed out of his wrist. He lay behind me, sat back watching the blood drip from one hand. I was too weak to move, so I lay there holding my knife over my chest, pointing it at him. Suddenly his eyes went white from the insane rage, and before I could move, he threw himself on top of me again. My knife had been driven straight into his heart. His legs touched the wheel. Nearly he still. I looked at him. Unbelievingly. I never have been killed. I never had to kill anyone. And my brother, my friend. Two hours later, filled with exhaustion,
drove poor Denise to the butcher shop. In the mouth. Her eyes have waited.
They're there. Of
course it is. I'm a man of honor, monsieur.
Mm-hmm, I can see that. You made it on time, too. But didn't you have an assistant? I understood from the
Please. It seems that my assistant, monsieur, didn't really need the work. I was forced to dismiss him.
Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, you made it.
Oh, yes, I always finish any job I start, monsieur. I remember that Gonzin had said my name to his girl over the phone, and that my portrait sat waiting for the police in the studio. I put the 5,000 francs which I had taken from his body into an envelope and addressed it to Jean-Guillet. I dropped him in the mailbox and walked slowly down to the big market in the long. It was almost dawn when I reached it, and the heavily loaded pushcarts were stacked up in the side streets. Smell of green vegetables and berries. The gutters were slippery with garbage. And lonely women in pink satin pumps were staggering wearily through the filth at the end of the all-night's house. I sat down on the curb and watched her and said to myself, when none of us do what we wish to do, believe me.
The Army and Air Force is proud of its soldiers and airmen. Today's members of the armed forces have finer training, better equipment than ever before, and a strong, flexible defense of intelligent young men and women. We in America can maintain this effectiveness only by building strength and remaining strong. To have strength requires manpower, and men are vitally needed to support our forces in the Far East. You young men eligible for selective service make for the vigor, flexibility, and imagination that are necessary in an effective Army and Air Force. If you're of draft age and haven't yet received notice to report for pre-induction physical, volunteer to serve your nation now. Be a part of the Army and Air Force. Stop in at your nearest Army and Air Force recruiting station today and get the details. Volunteer your services now while you can still choose. Don't delay. Enlist today. Escape was produced and directed by Norman MacDonald. And tonight has presented Crossing Paris by Marcel Aimée. Adapted for radio by John Meston and starring Jay Novella with Bill Conrad. Featured in tonight's cast were Howard McNair, Barney Phillips, Edgar Barrier, Vivi Janis, and Paul Fries. Special music was arranged and played by Ivan Dittmars. Starting next Thursday night over most of these same stations, radio's outstanding theater of thrills, Suspense, will return to the air. As its first star, Suspense presents Mr. Pat O'Brien in a thrilling story entitled True Report. Remember, radio's prize-winning mystery program, Suspense, returns to the air next Thursday night. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.